Joel Selvin, back with Donovan. Tell us about Atlantis.
Oh, Atlantis, as you can tell from my work, I like to read. And dipping into ancient philosophy and civilization, I thought it's great. And in a bookshop, it'd be hard to get me out. I'd wedge myself in there, and Gypsy, or the manager would say, come on, come out of there. So I'd grab a book, and one of the books was channeling the story of Atlantis, as like View Over Atlantis was one. Don Levy, I think, was the author. It was a View of Atlantis, Return to Atlantis, a Victorian book. And I was fascinated. And it was before many books were brought out and comparing Egypt and Aztec and all those good things with this old Atlantis. Well, for me, I just told the story as Plato told it, as he supposedly got it from Solon, S-O-L-O-N, the priest. And I didn't describe the city so much as just the general picture of this lost wisdom or lost civilization. After a while, I realized it was maybe not so much a lost continent or a lost civilization, but some lost knowledge that we could do with now. Something to do with Western yoga, something that we didn't have to go to the East for. Because I was fascinated by Celtic mythology and wondering what happened to the Celtic yoga, what happened to the Celtic meditation, which of course is a great interest today in many of the alternative bookshops, what happened to the Western yoga.
The continent of Atlantis was an island which lay before the Great Flood in the area we now call the Atlantic Ocean. So great an area of land that from her western shores those beautiful sailors journeyed to the South and the North Americas with ease in their ships with painted sails. To the east, Africa was her neighbor, across a short strait of sea miles. The great Egyptian age is but a remnant of the Atlantean culture. The antediluvian kings colonized the world. All the gods who play in the mythological dramas, in all legends from all lands, were from fair Atlantis. Knowing her fate, Atlantis sent out ships to all corners of the earth. On board were the 12. The poet, the physician, the farmer, the scientist, the magician, and the other so-called gods of our legends, though gods they were. And as the elders of our time choose to remain blind, let us rejoice and let us sing and dance and ring in the new. Hail Atlantis!
Yeah.
And so I went into a studio in Los Angeles and had got the reading sorted, and then wanted this bit on the end, which you don't have to look very far to know that it's a similar to the Hey Jude repetition thing. But for the tune, I picked it from a banjo tune, I think. I lifted it. You know what they say, amateurs borrow from other artists, but professionals steal. So, was that T.S.? No, who wrote? Was it Larkin that said that, or T.S. Eliot? I'm not sure. But so the tune was an old banjo thing way down Columbus, Georgia. And so I put these two things together. And they say that spoken word doesn't last, but this one seemed to touch, especially in Europe, a lost chord in audiences. Yeah.
Well, Donovan, it's always a great pleasure to see you. And this has been a real thrill having you on the radio with me.
Thank you. And exploring some of these songs and chatting about it has been great fun for me, too. And so just to say that I felt called back in this 40th. And the box set and the book and the tours that are just beginning. And it's not a serious note, but it's an important note to say that my songs of love and compassion are needed more now than ever. In these troubled times, we must laugh and we must keep humor coming. But my songs touch a lost chord and encourage so many young artists today. There's a new album in me, and when I make it next year, I'll be coming back to see you, I hope.
I think we always need songs of love and compassion.
Yes.